Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jocelyn and Tanea.
I'm simply the best. Those are the words.
Do.
Better than all the rest.
Do. If I'm over the age of 50, I should know the words to the song.
Unless I don't like the singer.
Heard it a million times. It's just like, okay, we'll get to that. But we're
welcome.
Back. The besties are back after our Juneteenth break.
Happy Juneteenth, Black people.
We're active. How you feeling, bestie?
I'm good. A lot of TV is out. I'm just happy that like a lot of our shows weren't too compromised with this writer's strike that is still very much going on. But I'm good. Remote is activated. How are you after this little Juneteenth break?
I'm good. I am well. I'm alive. Busy as hell. But always making time for television because it's amazing. Like I woke up early this morning to go cover a junket and for a decent movie. I'll be talking about that soon. And came back home and turned on Real Housewives of Atlanta and Summer House of Martha's Vineyard. It's like, that's when you know you love television because you
literally can- we will do anything and we'll just watch the shows. Like I have not gotten that much sleep, but I know all my shows and I caught up on them. So
right,
this is going to be an interesting episode and I am ready.
So let's get into our weekly grab. What you got first, bestie?
Okay, the way my best friend feels about house shows or the way I feel about cooking competitions.
Okay.
I love cooking competitions, specifically Gordon Ramsay. He's, I have to go to his restaurant. I'm probably going to go when we are in London because I love him. So MasterChef is back, but this season they're doing the United Taste of America.
Okay.
He put the four regions of America against each other, the South, the Northeast, the West, and the Midwest. So he has five cooks from each kind of region in America, and they're all competing. And then the person that wins gets the prize and the MasterChef title. What I love about the show is that they're home cooks. None of these people are professionally taught. They all have taught themselves. They have really interesting stories. You saw this really nice Southern Black guy from New Orleans whose 92-year-old grandfather told him how to cook Creole. You had this woman who cooked raw tacos and then had the nerve to blame it on timing. And Gordon Ramsay's like, this show's been on for 20 years. You know you got to make things in 45 minutes to 60 minutes. You should have been practicing at home. But this season, there's some crazy characters. There's a lady called Lady Donut. She legally changed her name to Lady Donut because she loves donuts. And her name is Lady Donut. Like, legally, her name is Miss Donut. That's weird, but she's an Asian lady with blue hair. She's a really good cook. But if you, like, won cooking competitions, learning things about cooking, like salmon, chicken, hors d'oeuvres, dinner parties, then MasterChef is for you. I watch it every Wednesday. It is my favorite show. And Gordon Ramsay is not as like abrasive and mean as he was in the beginning. He's still very stern and he will be honest with you, but you also can see his heart because when they're struggling, he really like kind of leans in and helps them. So I love MasterChef. It's new for the summer and I will be watching it every Wednesday at 8 p.m. on Fox.
It's funny. When I went on a press trip, when I went to the Lakers game and stuff, I met this guy. He works for The Knot. And GQ, and he loves Top Chef. He loved it so much. End up being on a part of the trip with someone who's a producer on Top Chef. So
Wow.
he's just like going in, talking about things. Literally, only someone who has watched every season, by the way. He has watched every season of Top Chef. He was talking about it so much. I was like, okay, I have to watch it. And I started watching Top Chef. And you know, this past season of Top Chef was the all-star season. So it was a decent one. But I can't, as much as I enjoyed it, my thing with cooking shows, they make me hungry. And that's the only reason I can't watch them. The only way I could watch it is I have to be full, which is like, I'm not very rarely am I like really watching TV completely full. Like if I'm watching TV and you make me think about something with food, I'm taking my ass to the kitchen and I'm getting some food. So because I can't do that every single time, that's why I watch very little cooking competition or cooking based shows, because I'm like, oh, it's gonna make me so hungry. And I'm gonna want what I'm watching, and I can't. So kudos to you, Tanea.
Yes, I just eat almonds and drink water. So to curb my
I
hunger, because
cannot
it
eat no
is true.
almonds watching them cook those delicious meals. I cannot.
I just write down ideas like the way I cook salmon has changed because of
Wow.
MasterChef, even boiling noodle water. Like I've learned a lot of little cute little tips to one
That's
day
awesome.
give to
Yeah,
somebody besides my
that's
chef.
how, right. That's why I like my little house shows. They give me ideas for the house. But I on my weekly grab, of course, is Summer House, Martha's Vineyard. We just caught the season finale. Phenomenal first season. Everybody's calling for season two. I think Bravo's gonna do the right thing and give them a
Of
season
course,
two.
it's a big hit.
It was such a good show. I think probably watching it back, I'm sure our girl Jordan knows like she needs to just do a little bit healing on her end. Because there was a lot of projection going on
Ooh.
towards the end, and the way she kind of came at Alex, I felt like he was attacked and unprovoked for no reason, because he didn't even bring up the conversation and what she was saying and crying about. I didn't think it really had to do with anyone in the house but herself. So just find that healing that you need from posing for Playboy. You looked phenomenal, but yeah, don't project that on other people. Bria and Milo are the show. Okay. Milo needs his contract renewed. Bria is a hot ass mess, but in every right way. And I really enjoyed watching her this season. Like she's a lot. She's a hot mess. The way she was just cursing at Simon for no, I was like, what did Simon?
No reason. He's like, you disrespect
You
me. And she
disrespect me, but you tell me. You don't ask me. Justice for Simon and Milo. Okay. And then, of course, the Coopers. Silas, if you cannot make your own breakfast, iron your own pants, take a stain out of your shirt, or trust your wife to hang out with her friends without you while you're out without your wedding ring, I'm gonna need you to go back to 1955. Because
Please.
apparently you're still stuck there. From just how the season ended, I'm just saying, I'm seeing red flags of divorce. That just from someone who's been in a long-term relationship and also recently married, I can see like, oh, when you get into marriage, especially as young as they are, that's not just something you just rush into, you know? But granted, I can understand a bit of his background coming from like the military. That's what they want, you know? They're right. He's in the military or something, right?
He is in the military, and I believe he is of like Nigerian descent. So I
Right.
think he was
Yeah. So they
also
also,
raised
right.
very, his father like made the money, and his mother did
Right.
everything. So I think
Right.
that's what he wants Jasmine to be.
Yep. That's what we're seeing. That's what we're seeing. He's expecting that traditional wife role. And granted, in his defense, because, you know, my argument, I always feel in modern times, the traditional roles went out the door if we're splitting the bills or, you know, we're both spending things. But from what we gather from the show, Jasmine is taken care of. Like she said, she's a housewife. So just in regards to fairness, I can understand where it's like, okay, well, if I'm taking care of home and everything and all your needs are met, can you at least do this? Because I would expect that either way, whether it's her taking care of it and he's handling things, but it's still just at the same time, it's the way you can tell that he's just expecting it. And that's the problem. And you can tell that she doesn't like that and she's not trying to be this housewife, but it's like, I feel like he kind of already was letting you know that this is what he was expecting when he was putting that ring on your finger. Like the signs were there, and it's like you chose to go forward with it, and now you're married to him. So what are you going to do? But I'm
she here. Made a good point. They're on vacation. Can she get 2 weeks off of not kissing your ass?
Right,
like,
exactly.
I agreed with what she said. Like, I get it when we're home. Like, this is what I signed up for. Exactly like you're saying, best friend. Like, this is what I want. But they were in Martha's Vineyard for 2 weeks. Can you not eat yourself? Can you?
Can you not?
Because you got mad
at
her for getting a stain on your clothes. And now you need her to... You know what?
Exactly.
It's given a maid. It's given.
And the way he even was trying to say it, like, he's like, you know, I'm a person with routine, you know, so being here, not on routine. No. Say what you want to say. My wife is not catering to me the way I'm used to it, and I don't like it. So I don't know. Justice for the Coopers, but I'm definitely interested in seeing them return next season. There was a lot of cliffhangers, and it was a really good cast dynamic. So I'm all here for season two. We need it because the Whitey White Summer House, it's done. Like, to me, if they keep trying to drag that on, it's just like, why?
Ooh. Preston, his LB / fellow cast member, was on Watch What Happens Live last night, and he was asked who would last longer, Bria and Simon or Jasmine and Silas. And guess who he said? Bria and Simon will You're last longer lying. Than his own brother and his
own line brother. Yeah. So I'm just saying, because even like I said, from coming from a long-term relationship and being newly married, you don't rush into marriage. And from what we got from them, I think they only really have been together for like 2 years and they're married and she's young. Like, you can tell from the cast dynamic, like they're not that far removed from college. And you're already married to somebody who that's what they want. He's sitting on a military base all day. He just wants to have a wife to come home and boink, clearly. But were you really ready for that, Jasmine? I don't know.
No, she wasn't.
Well, season two shall unravel what's next. What else you got on your weekly grab, bestie?
So I went on Netflix and was in the mood for a rom-com because we love romantic comedies, especially with Black people. And I did watch The Perfect Find with Gabrielle Union and Keith Powers. It is based on a book. Did not read the book. Don't really think I need to. I would give the movie a solid 6 out of 10. I was waiting for some type of like surprise. It was good. I love Gabrielle Union. I love how beautiful she is. She's fashion. Like, the story is very believable of just like an older woman getting broken up with and dating a younger guy. I think what I missed was like just something different in the story. I feel like I've seen kind of this story before in my rom-coms, but it wasn't like, I mean, the there was a little twist at the end when they end up together, but that to me wasn't like a big enough oomph. It was okay. I liked the movie, but like, am I gonna watch it again? Probably not. I needed some like comic relief, and I couldn't really get that. They had like Lala play one of her friends, but she was kind of like into this girl. And some people just do not look right playing gay. And I'm sorry, Lala sis, you looked very straight.
Like Lala Anthony?
Yes, like she was flirting.
She's supposed to play a gay person?
Like more open, more fluid, because she was flirting with Keith Powers, which plays the young son. He had a friend and the friend had a girlfriend, and her and the girlfriend hit it off and they were supposed to be like into each other. Best friend, it was just dry. Like, it just wasn't. Yeah.
And it's like, it's also like, why cast Lala for a role that it doesn't, you know, I get it. You want to try different things as an actress, but also too, it's like, I'm sure there's a ton of gay actresses out here that are great.
Yeah. I don't think she was supposed to be like gay as much as she was like questioning or maybe open, but every scene she had, like even flat, like touching of like, they danced once and they were like, giving each other, what is the thing called when you blow smoke in somebody's mouth? I forgot. But they were like trying to be intimate and it just looked very forced. Like, it looks like Lala has never even kissed a girl in her life, which is fine. Nobody wants you to. But like I said, the movie was cool. I finished it. It was good. I think it could have been a lot better, but I just like to see Black people on my screen. So
yeah, of course. You always got to support. I mean, I heard, you know, from the Twitterverse, that it wasn't the best part about the movie was Keith Powers. It just looked at his face. Yes. That's what got you through the movie was Keith Powers being sexy. And I like Gabrielle Union for just being her and what she just represents as a Black woman. But I can honestly say there, like, I did like the first half of Being Mary Jane. And I, of course, love what she contributed to Bring It On. But outside of those two roles, I have never been impressed by her on screen as an actress in a movie or in really like a television show. She just has never, there's something there that is just, she just doesn't do it for me. And that's just my honest opinion.
I can see that. I mean, I love her as a person, as an entrepreneur. My favorite movie of hers is Bad Boys 2.
Okay, yes, I did. I agree. She did. There was nothing about her in that role where I'm like, oh, she killed it. I needed her in that role. Like, I could have saw another Black actress in that role as what Will Smith's love interest. Like, literally, she has never done it for me. I swear, from since I was 12 years old and I saw Bring It On, like, I liked her. You know what I mean? Like, I liked her, like, edgy Black girlness. You know, very, you know, reminds me of myself in ways, but just as an actress, it's like, she just doesn't do it for me. Like, I'm like, what is missing? Something's always missing. It's like, I can't put a finger on it, but something's always missing. And that's just kind of what she gives me time and time and time again. Every time I'm like, yeah, I guess. Deliver.
My best friend said it best.
Deliver.
I feel the same way now that you said that. It's like,
yeah, I'm sorry. That's just really what it is. It's like, it's something like, it's like she, there's something missing in her performance. Like, I don't know. It's just something is missing, you know? But anyways, I digress.
Yes.
On to a new reality show that just started, Love and Marriage Detroit. Y'all know I'm one of the little Mohegans that are loyal to Carlos King.
He loves her, Carlos.
Okay, I am part of his crew fans. I don't know, I forgot what he calls us, but we out here. So there's a new addition to the Love and Marriage franchise. He started with Love and Marriage Huntsville. He went on with Love and Marriage DC, and now it's Love and Marriage Detroit, which is his hometown. And I like it. One thing, growing up in New York City, watching movies, it's like New York City or Los Angeles. It was very rare where you would get a depiction of other communities. And I like to see what they look like, because you have a very skewed view when you grow up in New York. Like, you think everybody is woke. You think everybody understands diversity. Everybody's lit. We all just move and shake. And it's just not. No. Like, you start to see that when you go elsewhere. You're like, oh, it's because I'm from New York. So I enjoy watching shows that introduce me to different areas and cultures. And this is showing Detroit, the real Detroit. You know, we're getting to see a bit of Detroit on the BMF show. That's why I like BMF, because it's showing you Detroit. But now we got a reality show based in Detroit with couples, Black love couples, three couples in different areas in their marriages. And I love it. That's what I love about Love and Marriage, their whole franchise as a whole. Yeah. And so this new one is definitely showing promise. There's one couple, I'm still learning everyone's name, but there is one couple that they dealt with infidelity in the past. And he's like a music producer. He wants to be like the new age Berry Gordy. And he signed this new artist who's young and hot and didn't tell his wife that he signed the artist, but it's going to come out. And he's already kind of showing signs of just being annoyed with his wife, like not really wanting to come home, not wanting to talk to her on the phone. The trailer for What's to Come shows that two of the wives that are sorority sisters, and of course they're in our sorority, they're going to butt heads. They're both influencers, and it seems like they're going to butt heads over kind of touch someone stepping on the other's toes in the influencer world. And the guys, like, you're just kind of seeing Black men be fathers and husbands and love their roles as husbands and fathers. Even one of the guys, he has this retreat. I think he calls it like the man club or something. Like, he wants men to be men. But also, like, in regards to like really honing in on your responsibility as a man. So, you know, I love ratchet television, but it's not ratchet television. It's wholesome reality television in a historically Black city. Everybody knows Detroit's been known for being at the epicenter of Black culture since Motown. So it's seeing like the new Detroit and Black love and marriage. And yeah, I like it. So far It's only one episode in, but just from that little trailer of what's to come, I'm kind of feeling it. But you know, if my opinions change, you know, I'm gonna come back to the podcast and let
I will say, I love that Carlos highlights like Black love in its many different forms, because they'll give you Fevi Martell, they'll give you like
Right.
a good husband, like a good representation of marriage. And I did see the clip on YouTube, because you know I don't watch the show, but I do watch the YouTube clips of the light-skinned guy with the bun basically
Yes.
giving his wife an attitude, and she was like, come home, and he was like, why? And she was like, ooh. So I think that that's gonna be a problem. And but you got this little young tenderoni around, and you're not telling her. So I'm interested for you to tell me what
Right.
happens, because you know I'm not gonna
But
watch the show.
what I do understand too, as it relates to Carlos' criticism, like the criticism he's getting for, because he's, it's like you had a lot to say about the Housewives.
All the time.
And it's like, right. And it's like, to me, I don't think that he needs to do that. Like when he does that, the more he does that, the more he cheapens his own franchise. You're investing. Now, granted, it's not like he doesn't talk about his shows. He does talk about his shows. He has whole interviews and stuff for to promote his shows. But at the same time, it's like you try to pull in more Housewives fans to your shows by talking bad about the Housewives. It's like that's just, I don't think that's the way to go about it. I really don't think that's the way to go about it. And at the same time, it's like, yeah, I can understand why people are just like, your shows aren't even as good as Housewives. That's why you're over here still talking about Housewives and not talking about your shows. So it's like I kind of, but in a difference of opinion, I do think that the Love and Marriage shows are good. It's just that I do know that they are black. They, it's like, it's, I, it's like, I would be like, why would a white woman or why would, you know, somebody, a Spanish, but why would they watch this? Versus if you've already, it, like the way Housewives is positioned, even if it is Atlanta or Potomac where they're all black, it's like the way the storyline is, maybe because it really follows women, it just kind of makes it relatable to diverse, more diverse audiences. So I don't know. Maybe, you know, I don't know.
We shall
We
see, but
shall
I'm
see.
interested in you watching it to tell me what it's about.
Of course. And what's next on your weekly grab?
My last show is a show I was late to on the game, but now I'm addicted to, and that's Project Runway. It is back, but it is All Star season, which I love because I didn't watch it from season one on. So I get to learn a lot of backstories, meet a lot of new people. I'm so happy that I got rid of Karlie Kloss, Claw. I don't know, the girl that was
Karlie
married to
Kloss,
Jared.
yeah.
Yes, I just didn't need her. I love Christian Siriano. I think he is spicy, and I love that he actually won the third season. So he knows what he's taught, and he's amazing. He's big. I love all the artists for this season. First episode, not surprised at who went home, because that dress was absolutely trash. But she was a season one contender, and she was
Right.
honest. She's like, I don't sew no more. I don't do
Yeah.
this. I remember the last time I sewed. But there's so many different artists. I'm secretly like pushing for Bishmi, the black guy who does kind of like couture streetwear, whose sister died like not even a month before they were filming of cancer. And he's like using her to push through. I love everything he's done so far. I'm interested in the challenges that they do, but I am obsessed with like the fashion. I'm like, ooh, maybe I can make a jacket. No, I can't. I can't.
No,
I
but
can't.
it'll make you feel like you can, right?
I'm so happy that it's back and they're introducing me to a lot of the new people. So I'm interested in seeing, like, especially because there's no immunity this season, seeing like how that like pans out. I like that there's like not too much drama, but I think there will be some drama. But I just love Project Runway. It could never do wrong in my eyes.
Yeah, I mean, so I've been watching Project Runway. Actually, watching this All Star seasons, it kind of reminded me how long I've been watching it. I was like, okay, yeah, I definitely picked it back up. Well, I never watched the early season, so it's not that I picked it back up, but I started watching it, I say like 2014, 2015, because I recognized from Laurance on, I was like, yeah, I knew everyone. And me and Brittany, we had a rocky start, but we follow each other. That's my girl. Because I used to do a Project Runway after show on AfterBuzz,
Yes.
and I remember I gave like critique on Britney, and she was just not feeling it. As you can see, she is very vocal.
Yes, I remember
But
this.
it brought us together. That's my girl. So even kind of seeing her over the years really make that transition to kind of ready wear, active wear, I saw it because it was like that's kind of wasn't what she was doing on her season of Project Runway. And then she kind of just was working on it over these years of kind of not being on the show. And seeing her come back, she's in her element. She's a top, to me so far, she's a top contender. Definitely Kane. He already won a challenge, won the first challenge. Bishmi was already strong. Bishmi was strong his season. He just gets in his head a lot. And that's what he was doing on that first challenge. Granted, I understood it took them for a loop. It's like, damn, who wants to start a all-star season off remaking their worst look that got them kicked off the show?
Yeah, trauma.
But he got to get
Trauma.
out of his head a bit. I could see how he was all in his head. He started flirting with Christian. I was like, Bishmi, I'm gonna need you not to do that on television, buddy. In 2023, be asking for a kiss. Don't do that because you are.
Hello,
Yeah,
that's
I was
not
like that. Yeah, I was like that was a bit much, but we're gonna be understanding because we already know the situation you're in. But honestly, though, I remember when Anna Zhu went home from after the car accident. She's quirky, but I didn't realize how funny she is. She is hilarious. She has been cracking me up the whole entire time. I definitely don't see her making it to the end because she just be in her own damn world. But she's so funny. I just love her spirit and her vibrancy.
She said, as soon as I left, I got pregnant because I was thirsty.
When they were like, "You're so pretty," she's like, "I know." She's hilarious. She actually is just funny. So I like that about her. And then it was funny too in that first episode where they had to bring out all of the worst looks. I thought Brittany had the best of the worst looks. I was like, yeah, actually, I remember that look. But just looking at all of them, whoever had that one on the stilts, I was like, what is that?
Well, first of all, what kind of challenge? What
Right.
was
What was it?
the
Right. But we wasn't watching
yes.
at that time. I cannot even remember. But yeah, it's good. What, so far 3 episodes in, I love it. But I'm a fan of it's that's why it's even hard for me sometimes to remember people's names because it's like I watch Project Runway, Next in Fashion, and Making the Cut. So I'm invested in all of them because you see Tim Gunn and Heidi Klum, they left Project Runway and started their own. And I actually do like Making the Cut better than Project Runway. In a lot of ways, I just feel like Project Runway is so dry, but that's their culture. It is what it is. But if you want a little bit more spice into your fashion competition, definitely check out Making the Cut and Next in Fashion. Making the Cut is on Amazon Prime, and Next in Fashion with Tan France is on Netflix, and they're both amazing. Both.
The fashion diva has put it on to
The
all the fans.
fashion diva has spoken.
Telling you where to find your fashions, not your she by Sheins.
Right. Oh my gosh, I can't believe she said that. But last on my weekly grab, it's a bit like, okay, I went into today's bag and I watched a documentary because last week Russell Simmons was trending and I totally forgot that a documentary came out about his ass. And I was like, first of all, I always watch every documentary about the predators of Hollywood. Those are my favorite, like the Harvey Weinsteins, the Jeffrey Epsteins, and now the Russell Simmonsteins. So basically, on the record, it's on HBO. It came out in 2020. It wasn't promoted because Oprah felt bullied and backed out of it, even though she kind of helped organize it and basically produce it. But it was at the height of
The
the Me
Me Too.
Too and the Black Lives Matter and COVID and lockdown. And it was kind of like Oprah was getting flack for bringing down a Black man. But these are Black women in this documentary. The documentary is framed around the fact that the Me Too movement is kind of catering to white women. And it doesn't really give a voice to the Black women the way these white women have been, given this platform to air out men from all the past decades of Hollywood just being a misogynist, chauvinistic cesspool. So Russell Simmons kind of skittled on by, moved his predatory ass to Bali, and everyone just kind of forgot about it. But him just being who he naturally is, and now giving that energy to his daughters, and then they aired his ass out along with Kimora, only as it relates to her children, because Kimora is still not speaking. on all of these allegations that
Right,
were brought
yeah.
forth in the documentary. She defended him at the time, because I remember that. And even now, it's like her focus is just on her children, which I totally get it. But it's like, Kimora, I don't think you're that blind and that deaf. I'm pretty sure you have heard about all these accounts. So it's what it's kind of framed around a woman that worked as his exec. She started as an intern, worked her way up to an exec. He had been sexually harassing her the entire time, but she thought when she got to her exec role, he would chill out. And no, that's when he took it to the next level and sexually assaulted her, like literally raped her. And then other women come forward with their accounts. Some worked for him, some were just in the industry. One of them, so when he sexually assaulted his exec, that was in 95, but he had already raped a member of the Mercedes Ladies back in 1988. And then what I took from the documentary are like, okay, these women came forward, but imagine the women that didn't come forward. They said it's 20 women in total. There's only like four of them in the documentary, four or five of them in a documentary. Other women that got away, like he tried to, like some white women, so he was diverse with it. You know, most of them were black, but he was trying to get all these women. And, you know, even some of the video clips of his old video clips of the things he said about women, it was like, oh my gosh, why did I not know this is who Russell Simmons was? Like, what? You're disgusting, bro. Like, you are disgusting. But yeah, he raped a member of the Mercedes Ladies back in the 80s. And when I went to Atlanta for the Praise This premiere, I ended up sitting next to a woman. She is the mother. If you watch Snowfall, Franklin Saint's best friend, the one that plays Leon,
Yes.
his mother, she was in Mercedes Ladies. So when I was watching the documentary, I was like, oh my gosh, that was the lady I was talking to her. So it's her group member that I was like, oh my gosh, this is so crazy. And then to think that Russell Simmons is in Bali, it's like, bro, you just basically confirmed what these women are saying. Because why did you move to Bali, sir? Why are you in Bali, Russell Simmonstein? So I just wanted to bring that up because if you haven't watched it, you need to watch it. I'm just an advocate for always putting these men on blast because we're in a society where, it's gotten more woke in more recent years, but back in the day, women had no power. They were taken advantage of left and right, not just in Hollywood. This is how it was in the household. It was just expected. Like, men just had all this power, and I hate it. And I'm just really passionate about hearing women out if they are brave enough to speak on something from even if I don't care how many years ago it was, speak on it, air their ass out. Because now you take a bit back of the power that was taken from you. Because they take something from you when someone takes advantage of you in that way. That's one of the most. I feel like that's one of the most severe ways you could be violated. Literally, is being taken
Listen,
advantage of sexually.
and I do feel like from what I heard Kimora say, like I think she was a victim. She was
Yes.
16 when they got
Yes.
together. So I think she probably didn't even know the half, and he was rich and he took care of the family. I think with maturity and her being a mom now, I think her priorities are different, and I think they have nothing to hide. So I'm all for women speak the hell up, get all, especially the music industry. I feel like the television film industry is coming now. They're coming for these execs, these singers, these rappers. I just saw on TikTok somebody said, "When is Surviving Trey Songz gonna come out?" And I was like,
Ooh.
"Ooh, ooh."
Okay, because seriously, I've even heard stories about him in the industry, but I do think it's coming. I think it's coming.
Their reckonings are all coming. Every single predator is getting their time. I think R. Kelly was destroyed. I broke the camel's back. And I think Russell's going to be next. And they might find a reason to extradite his behind out of Bali. I think they're all going to come because women are not scared anymore. We're going to speak up and we're going to say when we feel violated. So I'm definitely going to catch that documentary because I did hear about it. But you're right. It kind of was big and then
Yeah.
it kind of died down.
Right. It was not no Surviving R. Kelly. It wasn't no, even the ones on Harvey Weinstein, like the way that thing got scuttled, and only because I like to dig through threads on Twitter was I able to kind of see. I was like, oh, you know what? I need to watch this. And lo and behold, it's been on Netflix for 3 years. For 3 years, it's been up there. Yeah. Russell Simmons, Epstein, disgusting. Okay. And we are done with our weekly grab, but we have a slight return of our hot topics. because we got to talk about something. We had our little break, but girl, Monique Samuels filing for divorce from Chris Samuels. What are your thoughts?
I'm not surprised. I felt like they went too hard when they said that they were getting divorced like a year ago, a couple months ago, and they did this whole live, like, it's a lie, and it's perpetuated, and I can't believe it. If it's a lie, it's a lie.
Right.
The way you gotta go on a live, I said, some ain't right in that house. And then the way, like I said, I've watched clips and pieces of them when they were on Love and Marriage DC. Just their communication, yep. I think how you talk to your partner is extremely important. And they just were never on the same line. I'm not surprised. I feel like she always tried to play reality TV, but that girl gonna end up back on the show. Mark my words.
If yeah,
it's not Housewives, she's gonna be on TV again.
I hate, and it's like, girl, stop acting so high and mighty. Like, you started, what's wrong? Like, what's wrong with reality television? It's because she's a narcissist. I'm sorry. Like, I did not see it before. And I was definitely team Monique a bit when she was on Rope. But mm-hmm. when she went to Love and Marriage DC, you could see it clear as day. There were no more distractions. She is the problem. She was the problem with Candace. Because even with hints of that I was seeing, I was just like, oh, why she keep picking on Candace? What the hell? And then you see it on Love and Marriage DC. Like, she's the way she has no respect for Chris. And honestly, his mother was right. His mother was right.
What did his mother say? I didn't see that.
She said, I don't like that heifer. Basically, like, she felt like Monique was using her son. And a lot of people see that now. I don't think that mother was wrong. Mother do know best. A lot of times, mother do know best. Because you can just see, like, on Love and Marriage DC, like, Chris was trying. Like, he just wanted to please her. And it's like, she would pick a fight over nothing, best friend. Like, when I say nothing, she would get mad at him because she was mad at him. And he just wants to try to please her and he doesn't want to argue. And she's like, but why won't you say how you feel? And why? It's like, wait, you just want to be mad at him. Like, you mm-hmm. literally just want to be mad at him. You don't want a resolution with your husband. And then if you remember when all of that stuff did happen on season 5 of Potomac, it was stemming from cheating rumors involving her, saying that she was allegedly cheating with a personal trainer or something of that sort. And remember, she was trying to control that narrative. That's what was driving her crazy. And when they were at their lake house or something, and all Candace was doing was being messy about Ashley's ancient husband, Monique went about berserk, right? Remember, she went berserk thinking like Candace was talking about her. And it's like, girl, nobody's talking about you. So it's like, why are you acting so guilty? So yeah, girl, I'm not surprised either. And Chris Samuels deserves. I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for Chris finding his peace, but I'm definitely rooting for Monique and her return to reality television, honey.
Yeah. Bring her back. She gonna return whatever show she, or she might just try to do one thing, like move to like maybe Atlanta and try to join RHOP. I could see her trying to go back to Love and Marriage DC single, like a friend of, but right. That girl is gonna want to be in the, and then she's also if she is the narcissist you say she is, she's gonna want to tell her story. She's gonna mm-hmm. want to change the narrative to not be the bad yep. person. And you can only do that on national television, not on yep. your Instagram live.
Because I agree. I see that. I also kind of see her going the Porsche route for a while, just, you know, Stars on Mars and little Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip. She'll do like short little appearances to probably prep herself before deciding. I don't see her going back to Potomac, just, you know, clearly. It ended so messy and she has no friends there. But I could see her going back to Love and Marriage DC. Definitely.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm praying. We don't like breakups. I'm praying for them both. But I'm also just not surprised. I'm not surprised. They just didn't seem like... I think when you have to convince people that you're like in love and happy you have a band, you're actually not.
Okay. Basically, like, the camera's going to pick it up.
Like... Girl, it's okay. Just say it's not working out. Okay? Just do that.
So now let's get into our piss poor performance.
Pissing on people. Okay. My piss poor performance that I'm probably going to give almost every other week until the season is over is Mr. Ralph Pittman, Drew's ex-husband from the Real Housewives of Atlanta. Drew did her first interview yesterday with Andy on Watch What Happens Live with Preston. And he just first set of questions, he asked us some really tough questions, and she looked very uncomfortable, but she was honest. Basically, that whole scheme he did of making it look like he filed first, she filed because I think it's going to come out that there's like proof that he was cheating. I mean, we all know because he loves to leave and blame it on everything but him cheating. But I'm really giving him my piss poor because this man gaslit us, America, into thinking he was going to be a stepdad and the dad of the year to her oldest, who has a different biological father. You writing this book, you doing all of this shit. This mother lover not only never adopted him, but in the petition in their divorce did not ask for custodial rights over Josiah. So Andy was like, the only person I really thought about during this divorce was Josiah. Because when you have three kids and you have this one where the biological father is kind of around, but not, and Ralph is making this whole, I'm a stepdad and a real dad, and I'm doing what black men don't do. And you don't even want to see that kid now that y'all not together. F you. That's going to be trauma. I hope Drew is taking that little boy to therapy, because it's going to hit him when Ralph wants to come around and only see the two babies and not the oldest one. I think you're a piece of shit. I think it's going to come out. And then when we find out that the sister knew it, the sister told her, and you know, you don't want to hear when you're in love, like, he's a little crazy, he's a little manipulative, he's a little controlling. And then he said the sister couldn't come into their house for 4 years. And now I know the sister at home, like, I told you so.
So yeah, that's what really disgusting. Like bothered me even watching this last episode. It's like, cause it's like, no shade, actually shade. Who is Ralph? Where did he come from? Like, we know who Drew Sidora is. I'm just trying to figure out, how did she allow this man into her realm and kind of like fell for it? Like, he clearly has been manipulated from day one. Like, that's who he is. It just seeps out of his skin. And I'm just like, Drew, like, girl, you've been that girl. Like, you could have had any guy. Like, why him? Why this lying sack of lies?
With the worst six pack, because he's not fit.
Like, explaining why, right, with that beef, like, just look like a package of sausage. When she was explaining why he doesn't like the sister, and it's like, well, the sister is basically was foreshadowing for her to just kind of ignore all of that. It's just like, damn, Drew, like, but I really respect her transparency with sharing this with us on national television. And that's what makes her more relatable. And I'm totally team Drew. And I want to see her find love, like real love. It wasn't with Ralph. I feel like kind of Ralph was just kind of getting by.
Yeah.
Throughout their marriage. I don't think he was ever really invested.
No, same. And I think once they got on the show, he was like, oh yeah, I want to do this for me. But I don't know what businesses he has. I don't know what money he has. He's a loser. And I just really feel bad that he tried to gaslight America, making us think he was father of the year. And you're not even trying to see that little boy now that you're breaking up. So fuck you, Ralph Pittman. Who's your piss poor best friend?
Yeah, my piss poor is Carly Red. This last episode of Love and Hip Hop, it was just like, it was a trigger. Like, because you're seeing more like, oh, Carly's psycho. Like, she's one of those weird psycho people that wants to be like, I love you, I'm your friend. But it's like a weird obsession. Her moving next door to Spice, and then making the realtor sign an NDA and the neighbor sign an NDA so that they couldn't tell Spice that Carly Red was moving in. And then just keep showing up at her door, unannounced. You know, and then Spice puts it into perspective of how Carly has been like doing little things behind the scenes to kind of get close to her friend Mita. And I'm just like, no, like Carly is someone you got to keep away. Like, you cannot trust her. She's going to butter you up and kiss your butt at certain points when it's convenient for her to show you like, I'm your friend, but it's really like she wants your life, and she wants a part, something that you have. Like, it's more of a obsession than a friendship. And I just like the Carlys. It's like, you got to get the Carlys out of your life. They are there to try to slowly, secretly kind of sabotage you in a way for their own personal gain.
And I also think she's addicted to like the show and like having us like the fame. And like, I think that because she doesn't really have a storyline. And I know that Mona's like, I don't got to give her top billing. She's going to do whatever we want because that's how she is. Yeah. I think it's interesting to see how this plays out. And I want her to stop doing stuff to her face. It looks really bad.
It's kind of too late.
Really, really, really bad. And I just feel sad for Spice. Like, I'm trying to just live my life and you're just always in my, like, girl, right. Do something.
Right. It's like, what do you, like, yeah, but this is what Carly's been doing from day one. Like, when has Carly had a storyline? Ever. Never.
Excuse me. Did you forget? Prada Gucci Fenty.
Pop them tags. So, yeah, like, that was just, like, a red flag to me. And I want Spice to be around more genuine energy because you could tell she's a really good person.
So good. So good. I'm in beautiful too. So we're pissing on these people.
Yes. And now we'll show some love. We'll give a yes to some people. So who are you showing love to?
The beauty that is Reminisce Mackie, aka Remy Ma. She looks amazing.
Oh, she does.
She's been hitting the gym. Her skin look clear. Her body looks good and real. I need the people of America to know that women who have real bodies know when you're, it's nothing that's wrong if you get it done, but please stop lying. She just looks amazing. Her skin, she's kind of in her acting bag. She did a small little cameo in The Perfect Fine, very small, but she played herself. I just really like her transition as a female rapper where she has hits and she's finding her lane. She's doing more like freestyle things now on her page. So I just think she looks fucking amazing. She's a good wife. She's a good mom. I think the internet is really going crazy trying to make me believe that she cheated on Papoose. I said, who?
Now, I don't know, girl. I don't know. I don't think she cheated. But I think there could be some truth to some of these rumors out here that Papoose knocked out Easy to Block Captain. And why would he knock out Easy to Block Captain, best friend?
Who is that?
Okay, you watch Bel-Air, right? So Easy to Block Captain is a battle rapper. And he is like the co-something with Remy. Remy Ma has a rap league of females. And she goes around promoting it with Easy to Block Captain. And when you've seen some of their interviews, there's definitely flirtatious energy between them. And Easy to Block Captain looks just like Papoose. Clearly she has a type. And so it's like, and so what is being said around the industry, like somebody who saw it firsthand, spoke to Star, some of the battle rappers are talking about it. They saw Papoose confront Easy to Block Captain, and you see Easy to Block Captain laying on the ground. This is what the witnesses are saying. So it's like, and then Remy came in with her security and they were like arguing, her and Papoose. So they're saying that Easy to Block Captain did something inappropriate. Clearly there, I'm thinking there was some conversations happening that Papoose wasn't feeling. And when he saw it, he's like, yo, you gonna talk to my wife like that? I'm sure that's something that Remy's part in it was, that was something they have to take up together as a couple, but they're not getting divorced. And I don't think she might've physically cheated, but clearly something's going on. But she looks damn good. She looks so good at the BET Awards. She looked phenomenal. Like, her body looks amazing. And I'm here for it. I've always been a fan of Remy since high school. So I'm here for what she got going on. But I don't know about those rumors now. I don't know if they so much as rumors.
I'm team you, Remy. It's never your fault. Who's your yes?
And to my yes goes to Andy Cohen. And the nipples he was rubbing at Pride, minding his damn prideful business. And I don't appreciate K-Empire, another black man, another gay man. Kind of like, it's like you're kind of using that. Whoever recorded it, that was messy. And then it's like you could tell K-Empire just likes content. Just content to bring views to his brand. But it's like, come on, sometimes it's just not like, was that really content? Really? No. You didn't have to, like, really. Or he could have, if he wanted to talk about it, he still could have posted it and still been like, leave Andy alone. Not, well, what do you think about it? Like, what? Andy's rubbing nipples. So the fuck what? Like, so what? I did. Now, again, you know, I'd be digging through the crates on the threads, and there's talk. Somebody was like, oh, girl, we all know Andy loves the black gays of Harlem. That's not a secret. I'm like, listen, I was looking at it. I was like, is that my friend? Get his nipples rubbed.
Oh my God.
Let Andy live his best life. Y'all already know he is a working man. He works. He takes care of his kids. If he wants to go out and rub some nipples as a prerequisite to whatever else he did that night, that is that man's business. And I can't believe somebody would record that. And actually, I can believe it in 2023 that somebody would record that and put it on the internet, because it's like, this is the times we live in. It's very ratchet.
It's just like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. He's a person. Right. He deserves privacy. It was consensual. It was probably someone he's been dating or talking to. Like, I just hate when people's privacies are violated because they are quote unquote famous. I think it's really disrespectful.
Yeah, I totally, totally agree. This is like, because it's like, I see stuff all the time. I'm around celebrities all the time. I just, it's like, why would you do that? Why would you even, would you like if somebody violated you like that? So yeah, we're rooting for Andy. But now, speaking of ratchet, let's get into our deep dive, because Best Friend is very passionate today on Extremely. Today about the, first of all, y'all, she called it the Source Awards. And she was not even joking. Like, I could tell she really meant it. I was like, girl, not the Source Awards. She's like, whatever. So, Tanea Bessie Biggles, I will let you take the lead on this.
I have a notebook of notes, guys, because I love award shows. I love the Emmys, the Grammys, not the Tonys. I'm not doing Broadway stuff. But I watch all of them. I give feedback to Oscars, but this was too white this year. I'm really into like award shows and things like that. It wasn't even 20 minutes into me watching the show that I text my best friend, are we going to talk about the Source Awards? I have thoughts. First of all, this is why I want people out there, whatever people listening to us, to really support your writers. This is what happens when there's a writer strike and you don't have enough people in the room. You don't have enough people with ideas. Now, Jesse Collins is usually the executive producer. Jesse, I don't know if he was on vacation. I don't know if you was asleep or you ain't have no money to pay the producers, but it was just lackluster. The music, I could tell that nobody had more than one day of practice. I was looking at everything from the dances and the back when they had the best part was the hip hop thing. That to me was like the top, but I could also tell that those people probably learned that dance like 8 a.m. Sunday to do it like 4 p.m.
Yeah, the dancers. And then you got those rappers, they've been performing those songs for decades. So that's nothing for them.
That's nothing for them. And they were better performers than these young people. Hey, listen.
Yes.
Kids of America. Get off these pills and this weed and this liquor when you have to perform. Yes. I don't understand how rappers are lip syncing. I don't understand why Ice Spice and Lil Uzi Vert and Bia and I don't understand why you need a record behind you if you're rapping. I mean, if you're dancing, okay. But can you follow the record?
Lotto.
The person I'm proudest of is like Cardi B's first performance, her most recent performance. I feel like she did the work. She was very critical. And I don't know if you've ever saw her Glastonbury performance, but that shit is amazing. Like, just to see her growth. I want Carlos King to have a new show called the Lori Ann Gibson New Rappers Bootcamp. It needs to be Bia. It needs to be Ice Spice. It needs to be Lotto's okay. Glorilla's okay. But these young, Lola Book is okay.
And the two you, and remember, Lotto went through the Teyana Taylor boot camp.
Hello, Teyana and Lorianne need to host it.
I just don't see the star quality in her. I'm sorry. I'm just being honest.
And who?
Lola Brook.
No, I think she's just cute and short with a nice, with a nice song.
I think I'm hopeful that it's beyond this one song, but it's just giving me one song.
Yes. And Coi Leray was amazing because she can dance, but once again, she's still lit. I'm not a performer, so I don't know how hard it is. But if you're going to lip sync, can you not make sure I know that you're lip syncing? Because I've seen people lip sync, but they can't really tell. So that was my first thing, like just the lackluster performances. Where was my gospel moment? Right. Okay. The one thing I love about the BET Awards that no other MTV, Grammys, they always give me a gospel award and they give me at least a performance by the top gospel artist at this moment. I feel like I think you pointed this out, Best Friend. You was like, there wasn't really promo. I think last week they decided, let's just do the award show because we felt like we have to. I think this was rushed. We really could have used a Kirk Franklin moment, especially because they're about to go on tour.
Right.
We could have used a something moment. That was just not there. And then It's the fact that the audience looked bored. Everybody was on their phones. And places like the Grammys and like the Emmys, they take your phones. And this is why I see why. It's the best performances ever. Everybody in their phone, they taping, they leaving. It was definitely the EBT Awards. I was not happy.
Yeah.
But there were some highlights. Quavo and Offset. Yes. Definitely got teary-eyed. Definitely made my day. Busta Rhymes telling him to turn his music up was hilarious. Turn my music up.
I got teary-eyed during his speech when he started. Yes. Yeah, when he's got started crying, it's like thinking like, damn, like really, hip hop has come such a long way, and Busta Rhymes has always been at the top of his game. And you and despite everything we're saying about the BET Awards, the BET Awards is the only awards that's going to honor Busta Rhymes the way he deserves.
100%.
And the other Busta Rhymes, you know what I mean, like. Our culture, and that's why we get so upset when it's kind of a disappointment on the awards show side, because it's like, this is all we got. Tanea called it the Source Awards, but we don't even have the Source Awards anymore.
They took it away because they kept fighting.
The Vibe Awards are on its way out because nobody's watching it, but it's also, they got to get it, really pick it up. But I also think, and I was telling Tanea this earlier, I think it's a reflection of the times we're in as a culture. Mm. Yeah, these kids are like if you're inviting TikTokers, it's like, well, that's not talent. And if that's the talent of today, then it's like, we have no talent. Get some real talent. And where are the actors? Like, invite the actors out here. Invite some, like the other, like the more of the Coco Joneses. Like, I just like, if it's just going to be a whole set of R&B stars, oh well, and J. Cole and Chance the Rapper, okay. Because at least you know that you're going to get, you know, it's like you're setting the state, you're setting the tone. Like, no, we want you to carry yourself a certain way when you're coming to this. One shout out I do want to give is Doechii. She had an amazing performance.
Oh my God, the best.
She's in lip sync, but she's talented. I was honored this year. I was able to vote. I got to vote for who was going to be the nominees and put in my vote for who I wanted to win. I voted for Doechii for Best New Artist. I knew she wasn't going to get it, but I voted for her because it's like, she's phenomenal. And I like that her performance showed that, because look at her now among her peers, look at her among the Latto, among the Ice Spices, among the core, they all performed, but she had the best performance. And she's also more multifaceted because she can sing.
She can actually sing and really rap. She was my favorite and knew exactly what she was doing. She just set the freaking stage on fire and used the stage. Like, she's a performer. She invested her Coco Jones. But then for every Coco Jones, Bia is beautiful.
Yeah.
Bia is the worst.
Did she get better? I didn't watch it. Did she get better as a
performer? No, she got a new song with Busta Rhymes. And she just looked tired.
Mm-hmm.
She just looks tired.
I like her energy. Like, she definitely gives me star power.
Yes.
And with Latto, I think watching, when she watches it back, she'll get annoyed with herself. Cause you could tell, like, she was so focused on like putting on a good show and having fun. Grizz, like, girl, you were having too much fun and you were forgetting to just say your lyrics. Like, just say the lyrics. Even if you were like lip syncing, it's still your lyrics, but just say them. So, and like you were saying, I can understand her needing to have a backtrack because she was actually dancing. Ice Spice, but you know, I can't, to my husband, she can do no wrong. And that's the thing with Ice Spice. It's like, on top of the, she got that fat ass, she's light skin, and she plays into her sexuality. She plays into that look. And so it's working for her. And you have the Doechii's out here dancing her ass off, but Ice Spice just comes in with a little short skirt and turns around and wiggles her butt cheeks and everybody goes crazy.
Yeah, I think people are confusing like viral music with performers and entertainers. This is why Beyonce is not even going to come.
Beyonce is not coming. And honestly, and I'll talk about the ratchetry. It was lackluster talent and ratchetry in the audience. So JT and Uzi got into it. That was just so ghetto. And if you look, somebody got a screenshot. I can't remember his name, but he's like a veteran BET executive. They had him sitting right there. And no, he
Stephen
wasn't
Hill.
Huh?
Is it Stephen Hill?
Not Stephen Hill. But he wasn't near JT and Uzi. He was near Sexy Red when she got up with no shoes on and starts rapping her song because they were playing it. And here comes pregnant Krishan twerking on her, and this is all happening in the audience. And then there's like veteran BET execs just sitting there. He looks like Cicely Tyson in the Tyler Perry movie. Like, what are we doing, black people? Like, why?
Get it together.
So yeah, it, overall, now what I'll say in defense of the BET Awards, because so far we've had the couple of award shows we've had, mainstream ones that since this writer's strike was this one and the MTV Awards, BET was way better. People are talking about it. Nobody even watched the MTV Movie Awards. Nobody watched it. Nobody talked about it. I don't even know if they even really did it the way where BET at least still put on a show.
Right.
I'll give it to BET for at least still putting on a show, because I like, so far I haven't, you know, I didn't get to watch it live, which yeah, I have a bone to pick with Viacom about that, because I don't understand why I have MTV, VH1, BET, and it says click here to watch the BET Awards live, and then you're telling me that I'm out of network. I'm in Los Angeles where it is happening live. You don't, it makes no sense. And this is year after year, I can never watch any award show live. It just makes no sense. So I'm still catching up on performances. The only one I watched so far was Busta Rhymes, which of course that was an amazing performance. And I saw how lit, he had the audience lit, but he's Busta Rhymes, and that's why he got the Lifetime Achievement Award. It's just, it's sad that there's not any talent to that caliber like that today. Like, we just saw it. Me and Mark were just talking about it. It's like, there, who is the star? Y'all don't even have a Britney Spears. Mm-hmm. Don't give me Ariana Grande. Ariana Grande don't even want to be Britney Spears. They don't have a Britney Spears. They don't have an NSYNC. Justin Bieber was the last that they had, but he retired. And I love Justin Bieber. They don't have no real stars. Mark is like, right. Drake. Drake is technically now a veteran. Drake has been out for over 10 years. So Drake is not no newcomer star. I'm talking about, where are your Nellies of today? Your Ludacrises. Like, where are your superstars? Like, when they
you don't need that no more. You just need a viral moment and you a star. Because,
right.
Like, you're putting, and the kids today, it's the microwave generation. Like, you don't got to go to the Lorianne Gibson training. You don't got to do, this is why I also love Teyana Taylor and I respect her, because right. she is at least trying to help those people get that yeah. stage presence. But it doesn't even matter anymore, best friend. As long as you got a million views or listens, people want to give. But this is the effect of it.
The society is dying as a whole. Like, I even just wrote an article about how now jobs are, if entry level jobs are offering soft skill training for Gen Z. These kids don't know how to send emails. For one, in their defense, they did virtual learning for like the last 3 years, going into four. So they don't know how to send emails. They don't know how to dress for an interview. They don't know how to dress in a professional setting. They don't know how to give eye contact during a conversation. Like, oh my, it's just like simple things like that. And
or stay sober. I could tell a lot of them were just not sober.
Yeah, and the unsoberness of today, it's like, it's no longer just a Four Loko. These kids are rolling pharmaceutical medication that doctors prescribe to their patients. It's just, So I would just need, I think BET, you know, they are of the culture, they're us. So they're listening. I think from all the feedback that they got from this year, they definitely, well, now it's Tyler Perry's BET.
Yeah, I know he going.
I'm sorry today, because I know you didn't want to do it, but I'm sorry. I am very upset with Patti LaBelle. It's like, come on, Patti. If ever there's a time where you could learn some lyrics, let it be from one of your late friends, Tina Turner. And in regards to the teleprompter, that, you know, some girls came forward and said that they were like in front of the teleprompter. People were like, they were standing in front of the teleprompter. No, they're not. Are you good? Is anybody standing in front of a teleprompter at an award show? No, the teleprompter was too low. And if you knew that Patti needed the damn teleprompter, why? It's just like a lot of that could have been avoided.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying I got to give her maybe like 10% of the blame. But I also feel like this show was rushed. They didn't practice, because if she would have had more than, I could even tell when Remy and Fat Joe did their all the way up, like the New York portion of the tribute, you can tell that nobody practiced, best friend. Like, you can tell. And there was one thing where Kid Capri, like, he was caught off guard and he was on camera. He wasn't supposed to be. There were a lot of moments where you could tell that they threw this shit together. And I feel like BET is of the culture and we need better. And you need to give people time to practice, know their lighting, know their staging, and make sure you say, Miss Queen Patty, how big you need these words, and sit these people down when people performing. I'm seeing people walk off and leave, and it was a lot. That's why I'm saying I think she should have done better and learn it, but also like, they did not put the energy that they usually do, in my opinion, in this show. So, Tyler Perry, I will be calling you.
Patti LaBelle has a history of not knowing the lyrics. And it's like, from the one from this Christmas, it's like, Patti, why didn't you know the lyrics to This Christmas? And now this time, it's just like, why did you not know the lyrics to damn Simply the Best by Tina Turner? And she died. And then it's like, how long was this communication happening where you were knowing that you were going to perform this tribute? It's just like, come on. It was a simple, listen to the record a few times through, at least have some of the melody down, because to say, imagine somebody did that to her when she passes and you're going to sing in my song, you're going to sing, I don't know the words. Like, don't do that. That is just blatantly disrespect.
One thing Patti will do is let you know when things is not. Did you ever see the viral video when she was singing at the White House and her background sing? Where my background?
No, that's the one I just said. How you don't know the words to This Christmas, and it's Christmas.
We'll always let you know when it's not working for her. So I just think it's hilarious. But I also think all in all, it just was not a good show. It just was not a good show. It was that everybody's calling it the EB. And then you know what somebody did say on TikTok? Can we have a dress code? Like, remember when you used to like
all of that, like the fashion was horrible. Like, it's just like, if they're going to keep allowing it to be like this, then it's just going to me, it's getting worse and worse and worse.
Yes. Like, somebody posted the picture when Jay-Z and Kanye, Kim, Beyonce, Solange. Yeah. Like, we never get in a front row like this.
Never going to get that ever again. Unless what I would think that they should do next year, you don't need all these new people because they can't perform.
It got to be exclusive.
So bring in, yes, just bring in the veteran. Let Ludacris perform. Let Nelly perform. Bring in Ashanti. You know what I mean? Bring in Brandy. And then, you know, you scatter it in with some of the newbies that, to me, it's like it should be of a certain caliber. Like Coco Jones, Dochi. I don't know. Whoever else.
Don't pick people because they're viral.
Don't pick people because they're viral.
Yes, don't stop picking people because they're viral and you want the views because Ice Spice is it right now. So you want to give her a performance. It's like, that made me want to go. I was like, this, no.
Mm-mm. I mean, that's just, it's like, that's Ice Spice aesthetic. And it's like, I get it. I can see why they, like, Ice Spice is like the top right now. So I can see why they had her perform. I just, you know, so I'm not going to blame BET. It's just like, that's just Ice Spice. And, you know, if anything, I think Teyana Taylor will try to help her eventually. Taylor is going to get to Ice Spice and be like, girl, my New York sister, come on, girl. I got to help get you together. Because it's like the potential is there. But it's like, if you're going to just sit there and just keep turning around to wiggle your ass, you're giving me nothing. And this is just, I can get this somewhere else. I can get it somewhere else.
Woo. Woo.
But on that note, let's get into our positivity. Yeah. What you got, best friend?
There are no rules but the ones that you make between yourself and what you want in life. Mm. And Tyler Perry, get it together. That's my positivity. Okay. Tyler Perry, do the show.
Tyler Perry's BET.
Yes.
My quote is, you can't master your entire life in one day. Master the day and then keep doing it every day. Ooh. All right, y'all. And on that note, I think we're going to take another break we'll have to figure out next week, because next week's 4th of July and me and Bestie are in New Orleans. We're going to Essence Fest to see Missy Elliott and Lauryn Hill and Megan Thee Stallion.
Megan, we need a boot
camp. Yeah, right now, the Essence Fest is about to make up for BET. Essence is about to make up for BET, child, because, honey, yes, I need some Missy Elliott in my life. Real, real.
Artistry.
Please. Even, you know what I said to Tanae? I said, if Keke Palmer don't even come, it's like, it's a done deal. Because Keke Palmer be showing up. She loves her people. If Keke Palmer didn't come, it wasn't the year to go. So, yeah.
And on that note,
we
our
are here
slogan
to
is.
wish you love, abundance, and hair bundles.
Woo!
Tyler Perry, call me.
All right, y'all. We'll be back.
Peace
Bye.
out.